Thank you. This is Nina Gerber on guitar. I need a little overall, more level up here, if that's possible. I'm gonna play a tune that I wrote for a movie, but they didn't use it.
Stupid people!
It was a movie for HBO, and it was many years ago. And the movie had, among other people, Willie Nelson in the movie. And the guy called me up, he said, can you write a tune, title song for this movie? It's called Baja, Oklahoma. And I said, okay. And so I wrote the song, it came out really good, and then they didn't use it. So then I found out they'd also asked Willie Nelson to write Baja, Oklahoma. So he was in the movie, right? I had to use his, but I don't remember. But this song lived on a cassette in a basket. Where songs that don't get used in movies go to live. And I remembered it recently. And, nobody ever saw that movie. We should learn that song. I realized I don't have a cassette player anymore. And then I remembered that car in the garage that I just refused to give up. Sentimental about her. Call her Betty. Betty has a cassette player in her. So I went out to Betty. Must have looked weird, like maybe I was trying to kill myself. Listen to Betty in the garage and learn this tune.
There's a magic here.
about a whole bunch of jerky guys I used to go out with. But, you know, looking back on it from here now, I think it was kind of subconsciously on purpose, because I got a whole bunch of songs out of it. I mean, what are you going to write about if you're happy all the time? In fact, we had actually a medley. We have a medley of jerk songs we could play. But it's kind of painful hearing them all in a row like that. Remembering it all. So I figure if I just break it up with a bunch of really slow, depressing ballads, it'll be okay. Well, I wake up in the night now. It goes in all of it. I grew up in L.A. in a really great time, I think, to be an aspiring musician. There was music everywhere, and I was able to hear the Beatles and the Rolling Stones and the Byrds and the Buffalo Springfield and all kinds of folk music. And I was also able to go to this club, the Troubadour, which had a lot of acts like that. In those days, artists would come through and play the Troubadour for 2 weeks. So Joni Mitchell would play there for 2 weeks.
Oh, wow.
Two sets a night. in a club that, you know, had maybe 150 people. And so that was, I think, that was my education, much to my parents' dismay, as opposed to going to UCLA. But at that time, also on Monday nights, they didn't have artists. They had an open mic night where all the up-and-coming people could, you know, get up on stage and play two or three, four songs. And around that time, this is probably 1968, 69, Jackson Browne was coming up, and other people. And he was probably 19 when I was 16 and had already written just an incredible body of work. And was such a huge inspiration for me. And also later on when I made an album, he put me on the road with him and was a great supporter of mine. So we recently did a record and recorded some of his tunes. It's a tribute to Jackson. And I chose this tune to do that probably did write when he was 19. It's called Something Fine.
You said Morocco, that made me smile.
you say Morocco, I know you'll go in style. I may not see Morocco for a little while. While you're there, I was hoping you might keep it in your mind to save me just a taste of something fine.
Thank you.
cool guy. He was into a lot of kinds of music. He was a doctor, but he played boogie-woogie piano and played a lot of music in the house. And supported all my various attempts at playing different instruments that were hideous, like screechy violin and clarinet. Then I finally landed on the guitar, and I have kind of an inexpensive nylon string guitar. I went to summer camp, and my counselor had a guitar case, and she opened it, and this Martin guitar was in there, and the smell of it, and the look of it, and the, it's just one of those things where you go, oh my God, I'm supposed to have one of those, but I'm only 12. Well, I told my dad about it and talked about it, and for my 14th birthday, I came home and found one on my bed. Yes, a beautiful D28. Your dad. This is a song I wrote for him. Well, he was the calm in the storm. Thank you. First love, actually, and it got used along the way on the Wonder Years, if you remember that show. Towards the end of the run of the show, they were doing kind of a look back in time on Kevin and Winnie's love affair, and so they did a montage of all the years, starting with their little first kiss. And they use a song in the background, which is really cool. It's called Wild Heart of the Young. Thank you. Well, some of you may remember the great Kenny Edwards. Kenny was an old friend of mine and a musician, traveled with us and produced my albums and toured. And, you know, he was a great, such a great musician behind the scenes, really, for so many people, but kind of unrecognized, I think. And he had made a great, he passed away in 2010, unfortunately, and I think, you know, a year or two shortly before that, he finally made a solo album that was really super wonderful, and he was kind of a late bloomer, and a great, really kind of came together and wrote this beautiful album of songs. And this is his acoustic guitar that I carry with me by now. I'm going to try to tune it. But he wrote a song that I really love, that I've learned, and we're going to try to play. It's called On Your Way to Heaven. Thank you. don't make it worse. You pour it on the soul, but you die in a thirst. The world tried to hurt you, but you got there first. Dreaming up all your plans. I understand you. It's something I know. Tune that I wrote for me. And it got cut by Wynonna. A producer called and said, we're going to cut this tune with Why, and but you might want to come down to Nashville, meet Why, have dinner with Why. I said, Why? No, I said, sure, I'll come meet Y. And I did, and at dinner she said to me, I'm such a big fan of your albums, these cardboard things, such a big fan of your albums, my mom turned me on to them. My mommy played them for me when I was really little. I said, thanks, Y, okay. I think actually, now I just realized this, Nina. I think if you want to record this, because it's got her name in it, it's called Tell Me Why. Most of you know Nina Gerber, but if you don't know Nina, Nina has many wonderful CDs of her own, playing acoustic guitar and electric guitar, but a lot of acoustic guitar, and she's got CDs here, so you should be checking them out. But I'm going to have her play something for you, just so you'll know what I'm talking about.
Wants me to tune her guitar. She's probably going back for a CNN hit. Hey, you guys are really popular these days, being Pennsylvanians and all. Yeah. Does that feel good? Being courted by everybody?
It feels scary.
It's scary. Well, here's a little John Lennon music to help to bring a little hope, little sanity, little humanity. Thank you.
Play a song I once lip synced on the Solid Gold show. When you had a single coming out, you had to go on the shows and lip sync everything. It's kind of awkward because you have to, you know, you can sing it, but like the drummer can't really hit the drums, so it's just sort of, it's very awkward. It's like 8 in the morning. We did Solid Gold, and then the second one we did, which was cool, was Bandstand. Because I grew up watching American Bandstand, so that was cool. But after you do your lip sync, Dick comes over and does a little quick interview, and I was looking at him, and I was going, wow, he looks just like he did when I was 5. And then the third thing we... show we did, which was kind of the cheesiest, was the Merv show. The guests on Merv were me, Peter Noon of Herman's Hermits, and Richard Simmons.
Of course, it's scary.
espresso up there.
Yeah.
another song I wrote for a movie, and they didn't use it either. And I put it on an album, and the record company went bankrupt. Yeah, Linda Ronstadt called me up. She said, "All right." For us, I said, "Well, actually, I have something that'd be great, but I don't know. It's kind of cursed for me." They didn't care. They went and recorded it, and they had a huge hit, and they won a Grammy, and I stayed home and watched it on TV. So did Nina. That's okay. It's
all my life.
I got to walk to the mailbox and pick up the check, so it was all right. It's called All My Life. Decades before Linda recorded that, I was living in L.A., a struggling songwriter, and on a couple different jobs. One was cleaning litter boxes in a cat kennel. The other was with our band Brindle, playing in a top 40 bar. Place by the LA airport called the Carolina Lanes, and it was a combination rock and roll bar, bowling alley, and a nude room. we had fake IDs, we weren't supposed to be in there. But at some point, our band Brindle was Kenny Edwards, Andrew Gold, and Wendy Waldman. Kenny went on the road with Linda playing bass, and you know, I'd hand him cassettes of my songs. I'd say, here, you know, take this, play for Linda. And he would, and that never happened. I continued shoveling the litter box. one day he said, you know, we were on soundcheck, and I played this song for her on the guitar, and I sang it to her, and she really liked it, and we learned it, and we're playing it in the show. And he said, we're coming back, finishing the tour at the LA Amphitheater, Universal Amphitheater, 13 nights she was coming back to play. And so I knew she was going to play my song, so I got out there, like, fifth row center, and about four or five songs in, she just came out and just sang the hell out of the song. It was this glorious moment where I just knew my litter box days had come to an end. Thank you. thank you guys for coming out and spending your Thursday night with us. And I have to say, there's no way I could do this so beautifully without the great help of Nina Gerber.
Thank you, Nina Gerber on guitar.
One hit single once. I didn't write it, but my dear friend Glenn Frey, a great collector of kind of obscure R&B tunes, and go over his house and he would play me all this kind of cool stuff. And he played me this one and he said, you know, I was thinking I should maybe send this to Bonnie Raitt. And I was like, no, you're not. You're not going to do that. I'm going to do it. So, one thing you don't think about when you cut a sort of a song like this is it's going to follow you around forever to some extent. So we never used to play this because, you know, the record had horns and strings and the Eagles singing background vocals and all this stuff, but I don't really give a shit anymore. So if you want help out at any point, that would be good. I've been writing letters every day now since you've been gone. But talking to you on the telephone for what seems like a whole life long, but I got something to give that the mailman can't give. I can't bear it in, I can't phone it in, I can't send it in, even by your closest friend. Bring it to you personally, personally, personally. I'll bring it to you personally, 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 yeah. There's nothing like the feeling I get. Oh, when you're touching me, baby. There's nothing like the feeling you get when I'm there with you. Oh, my love. But I got something to give you that the mailman can't deliver. Personally, 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 yeah. to hear that. Wow. I gotta tune this a little bit while I tell you about. I took guitar lessons from a great man, Frank Hamilton. He taught in a cool little guitar store in the heart of Hollywood called Barney Kessel's Music World, in a little cubicle in the back. And he would teach us, my sister and I actually, really, a lot of the arrangements from the Weavers, and helped us kind of work on our songs. And so he taught me this one when I decided to record it on my second album. I was lucky enough to have James Taylor and J.D. Souther come in and sing and play on it. And, well, I thought I'd bring him out. Let's bring, no, I'm just kidding. We wish, but you can imagine them doing that. Anyway, this is an old Irish folk ballad, traditional. It's called The Water Is Wide. The water is wide.
Water is wide.
Thank you.